God and country. You know, Memorial Day, we think of men, women that have sacrificed their lives for that we could come freely and meet in a place like this and praise the Lord and worship and a day we set aside to honor those who gave their lives. But as Christians, we should have a unique perspective, regardless of the country that we call home. I mean, here we are in America, of course, but there's Christians all over the world. But we all have a common country that is our true home. And we're going to look at that today. And got Hebrews, and we're going to look at that. Abraham's perspective. We're departing from James for this week, and we'll come back to that probably next week. But by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Are we looking forward? That's just kind of what I want to remind us all today. As much as we love our country, and you know, our country has problems, and what country doesn't? But this is the place where God has you, and we have it pretty good. And if you don't think so, you need to visit some other countries. And at the same time, it's a blessing to be here, but at the same time, we need to understand that this is not our final destination. And as Christians, that's a wonderful thing to know and to look forward to. And so we're going to look at Abraham's perspective on country. And Abraham knew he had an inheritance. He was called. You know, God called him. He was in a place called Haran with his father, with his nephew. And God said his father died. Okay, Abraham's father died. And God appears to Abraham and says, go, I got a place. And you just stop when you get there. He didn't know where he was going. And you know what? For all the planning that we do in this life, we really don't know where we're going. I mean, we can have a plan, and you can say, I'm going there, but you don't know you're going to get there. God may have another place for you. He may have another plan for you that you don't see at this time. But the good part is you're moving. You know, Abraham was moving. And I like to say, when I have people come to me sometimes and they ask me, you know, hey, you know, how do you know where God's will is or whatever? And I say, well, get busy doing something, get moving, because even God cannot steer a parked car. You know, you can go out there in the parking lot and get in your car and turn that wheel all you want and you don't move one inch. But if you get moving, serving God in some way, whatever way God has called you to do, and you start moving, even if it's the wrong way, He can steer you into the right way if you're just sensitive to Him. And so Abraham knew he had an inheritance. He knew there was something for him. And by faith, he obeyed God, not knowing where he was going. And God made a promise, and Abraham believed. And see, that's really what the Christian faith is all about. Faith is believing. And when God says something in His Word, you either believe it or you don't. You know, it's not super deep here. God says something, you either believe it or you don't. And your behavior, the choices you make, the things you do, will reveal what you believe. Because you do what you believe. You do what you believe. And so Abraham, he believed God, and he went out. And he knew he had an inheritance, but what's interesting was, in his own land, he was a foreigner. It says, by faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise. What was the land of promise? God promised him land. He said, "This, I'm going to send you to a country. It's going to be all yours. It's this huge area." And if you read, you know, it tells what all the boundaries were going to be. It was huge. And yet, he was there as a foreigner because he never actually possessed the land. Do you understand? The only land that Abraham ever owned was his burial ground. He bought a cave from these other people that were living there in the area. And he says, "I want to just buy this little parcel of land. It has a cave on it. This is where I want to be buried." And so Abraham's buried there, and other members of his family through the years got buried there. That was the only actual ground he ever owned. In his own land, he was a foreigner. He lived in tents. It says, by faith, he stayed as in a land of promise, living in tents. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm thinking I own land and I'm going to settle down and live there, I'm going to kind of improve over having a tent. Wouldn't you? I mean, you know, I'm going to live in a tent, really? I'm going to be in this land the rest of my life. This is mine. And I'm just going to live in a tent? That's exactly what Abraham did, because he knew this really wasn't his home. This really wasn't the end. He had something more to look forward to. And then, so in his land, he was a foreigner, but in verse 10, he looked forward to God's plans. Because you see, God has a plan for you. Are you looking forward to his plans? You know, he's got that big plan. You know, the overreaching plan, the one that says, you know, one day he's going to come back and he's going to make all things right, and there's going to be judgment, and there's going to be, you know, tears, and there's going to be joy, and there's going to be, you know, this whole gamut, and then there's going to be a new heaven, new earth, and we're going to get to that. But, you know, all these things, that's the big plan. That big plan is going to happen. But then there's, what about till then? You're however old you are. You know, we got kids here that are very young all the way to people that we would call very old. But God has plans for you. Regardless of your age, you have purpose. You have value. There are plans. And Abraham looked forward to God's plans. And he lived in God's plan while he was here. And then when he died, Bible says what he had did was accounted to him for righteousness because he believed. His faith got him into heaven. Abraham looked forward. He says he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. God has designed a city, and God has built a foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ, by the way. He's the foundation of it all. And the builder is God. And Abraham looked forward to that. That was Abraham's perspective. And you could say, well, I'm not wandering around in the desert of the Holy Land there, what we call the Holy Land today. We're here. And we're not living in tents and all that. So what about the Christian's perspective? So we just got to drop down a couple of verses to 13 through 16. The Christian's perspective on where you are right now. And the first thing we see is we know as Christians this life is temporary. This is not all there is. It says, these all died in faith without having received the promises, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. What's the promise? It's the promise of eternal life. It's the promise of fellowship with the great God of the universe forever in a place we call heaven, a place that is described in great detail in Revelation. And this is promised to us. So we know this right here is temporary. That's the Christian's perspective. No matter how hard your life may be, no matter how unfair it may be, no matter what may happen to you, we need to understand as God's children that this is not all there is. This is temporary. And even though you may live to be 130, and that's a very long life, compared to eternity, that is a drop of water in the ocean. This is temporary. And we should know that because, you know, life does get hard. Life, you know, takes turns we would rather it not take. Sometimes it's our fault. We make bad decisions. Sometimes things happen to us that was not our fault. Just life. Sometimes other people do it to us. There's all these things that happen. But understand, no matter how desperate it may seem, no matter how tough it may seem to be, it's temporary. And that's good news, folks. That's why we can rejoice in the midst of tears. It's good news. This is, you know, I am glad. You know, I was working at my son's house yesterday. I mean, my granddaughter's got this boyfriend coming. You know. Boy, is he in for a time. And I was over there, you know, and they got this room. It's kind of like mother-in-law quarters, sort of. It's a room. It's part of the house, but it's totally separate from the house, if you know what I mean. And this, like, this guy's coming with his sister and her child and his brother and his mother from Ohio, and they're coming out here. And then they're going to stay and visit for like a week and leave, but he's staying. Because, like, this guy's serious, you know. And you know, it's, I mean, they've never met, but they've been conversing and FaceTiming for like over a year. I mean, you know, this is not like overnight kind of thing. But here they come. And they got plans, you know. And man, she's all excited and all that. So my son says, I need help doing this stuff. I'm trying to, you know, whatever. And we had to, you know, we had to rewire some stuff to make outlets work that never worked before. And, you know, and all this. So we did all that. And I'm on the roof and I'm coming down and I'm doing all this stuff. And, you know, he bought a stove on Craigslist. Don't ever do that. And, you know, and had to do all these repairs and, you know, whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, I can hardly walk. You know, my back. And, man, I come in and Deb goes, man, you need to take some magnesium. I guess that's the cure for that. I don't know. But, you know, as much as it hurt, I mean, I got up this morning, I'm like, I got to get moving. And she goes, can you move? I'm like, I don't know yet. I have to get out of bed and find out. But it's temporary. This back issue's temporary. John's got a back issue. It's temporary, John. Isn't that good news?
Yes, it is.
Amen. It's temporary. It is increasingly apparent in our country, in this world, that Christians are foreigners and temporary residents. It's increasingly apparent. Persecution is going on. Martyrs every day. I have a question, though. Not for you to answer here, to you to answer in your heart. Do you live your life? I don't know. Did I put it in here? I did. See, I don't even remember what I did. I'm putting this thing together. Do you live your life like you do not belong here? And that life here is temporary? Because it changes the way you look at things if you do. It helps you handle it, folks. It really does. It helps you have perseverance. It helps you stay with it. It helps you with your faith because you know this isn't the end. Man, if they told me this was going to be the way it's going to be forever, man, that would be depressing. But you know what? Because of what we know, because of what God has promised, we can live our life as victors. We can live our life victoriously. Because, you know, all the junk that's going on around us and happening to us, it's temporary. I mean, get a grip on that, folks. It'll help you. It really will. We seek, as Christians, we need to be seeking our true homeland. Our true homeland. Verse 14, now those who say such things make it clear they are seeking a homeland. Say what things? Hey, that we saw something afar off. We're working towards, you know, the end there. The way we talk about our citizenship. I mean, most of us here, if not all of us, American citizens. Hopefully, most of us. But we talk about our citizenship here. But the way we talk about our citizenship makes it clear to others that we're looking forward to our true home. Because, you know, yeah, America's got flaws and all that, but praise God, I am not going to live in America forever. I'm going to live in heaven forever. And as great as I think America is, and I think it is, despite our issues, I'd still rather be here. But beyond all that, I know this is not the end. And, you know, people argue about who's in charge and, you know, the next president and all this and blah, blah, blah and all that. You know, okay, fine, great. We do need to live in this world and we ought to be speaking truth. You know, we ought to be speaking our Christian values because, guess what, in this country we have the freedom to do so. But at the end of the day, I know I'm going to be somewhere else. We know this life's temporary. We seek our true homeland. Do you live your life on earth like you are a citizen of heaven? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Do we live our life on earth like we are a citizen of heaven? You know, if you go overseas and you say you're an American, they immediately have, whether it's accurate or not, they immediately have a thought as to how you are, what you believe, who you are. They say, wow, you know, you're a citizen of the United States, then whatever. You know, and they got, dependent on the country, dependent on the person, it could be a good thing or it might not be a good thing. But we are citizens of heaven, and I wonder what people think about me as a citizen of heaven when I say that I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe that one day he's coming back, and whether it's in my lifetime or if it's after I die, I'm going to be in heaven forever. Am I living my life right now like that's true? What do people think when I say I'm a Christian? Something to think about. Verse 15, we don't look back. Christian's perspective. What's our perspective? We know this life's temporary. We seek our true homeland. We don't look back. We don't look back. It says if they were thinking about where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return. For the Christian, there is no turning back. We press forward. Listen to me, we don't live in the past. You don't live in the past. Now, do you have a past? Yeah. If you've been alive very long, there's something back there you're not proud of. There's something back there that it may have affected you in a very major way. Okay? I'm not saying you don't have one. I say you don't live there. Yes, we must deal with our past. You do have to do that. You have to own it. Whatever it is that happened, whether it was your fault or not your fault, you still got to own what happened. And you just say, wow, this is what happened to me. I wish it hadn't. But don't deny it, because it is what happened, whatever it may be. But you have to deal with it, and then you resolve it in some way. You don't just let that thing hang over you the rest of your life. There are so many people that are defeated because they just never got over something. And so I'm not making light of this. Some people have gone through some horrible stuff. But are you going to let that bog you down the rest of your life? Are you going to let that defeat you? Are you going to allow that to let God, to where God can't even use you? You can't do that. Or you shouldn't do it. We should learn from our past. But we should always live with the future in mind. Not living in the future, but just in mind that, you know what, it's going to be better. It's going to be good. It's especially if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's going to be real good. So you deal with your past, you resolve your past where you can, and the things you can't resolve, you just have to ask God to forgive you or ask the person to forgive you. And if they're gone, you can't even ask them, then you just ask God to heal you. And then you let Him work in your life. But at the same time, you know how best to overcome those things? Get busy helping others. Really good therapy for having things happen to you is just help someone else. Because you have something to contribute. You have something that God can use to help someone else. And when you do that, it just makes things better. Doesn't change it. Doesn't change the pain or the hurt, but it makes things better. It gets your focus off of yourself and onto something else or someone else. And that in of itself will help you. But we need to live with the future in mind. Here's a question. Do you live your life with the end in mind? And what I mean by that, do you understand that as a Christian, you are going to appear before God one day? As a Christian. Now, we know about the judgment for those that are not. And they're going to be judged, and they're going to be found guilty. Okay? And then they're going to pay the price for their sin, which will be eternity in a place we call hell. And that's very sad, because they don't have to go there. But for the rest of us, there's another judgment. And it's not about your salvation, it's about your obedience. And we're going to appear before the Lord, and we're going to give an account. And do you live your life with that in mind? That one day I'm going to be before God. I'm going to be before Jesus Christ. They call it the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, this is not about your salvation. Your salvation is secure. This is about what you did after salvation. God, you got saved not just to kick back and go, wow, I got fire insurance. You were saved with a purpose to use. God wanted to use you in His kingdom in some way, manner, shape, form. And we're going to appear. And you know, the Bible says there's going to be some tears. Bible says, you know, if you invested your life in useless things, those things will be burned up. But the things you invested in that were of the kingdom, those things will stand. And I think as Christians, we need to be thinking, I don't care if you're 10 years old or 110, you need to be thinking about that day and be prepared for it. Not in fear, but just say, okay, God, you know, I really haven't been thinking too much about standing before you and giving an account of my service. But maybe I need to. What would you have me do? And you know what? I bet He answers you. I bet He lays something on your heart. And it could be what you might think is a very small thing, but it doesn't matter. You're not going to be compared with someone else. The level, the bar is the same for all of us. How obedient were you? If God called Moses to do what he did, which we all look at that and go, wow, you know, God, you know, or God calls someone just to be faithful at doing the sound. A very low profile job unless the screen goes off or something, right? Or when he forgets to turn the slide, right? Everybody notices. But you know what? To be faithful, that's all God's looking at. It's not what we consider the importance or how difficult or how high or how low. It's about, did you do what he asked? Were you faithful? And we need to live with the end in mind. You know, we need to get to the point where we can look back. I mean, can you look back on your life and go, you know what? Yeah, I screwed up. I know I've done some things, but basically I got no regrets. I know I fell, but I tried to make those right, and I tried to get past it, and I tried, you know, to do the best I could, and I sought God's face, and I tried to be obedient to Him. And I know I wasn't perfect, but, you know, basically I got no regrets. Can you say that? Now, there's some things I wish had been different. Man, I wished I'd have got saved about 20 years before. I know my wife wishes that. But I really wish I'd gotten saved sooner. But that, you know, I can't do anything about that. All I can do is from this point forward. Can't do anything about yesterday, but you know what? We can do something about tomorrow. What's God calling you to do? So we don't look back. We look forward. We look forward to what we're going to be, who we're going to be before that day. Whatever day that is. Lastly, we desire God's pleasure. We desire God's pleasure. But now they desire a better place. A heavenly one. Do you desire that? I hope you do. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Do you ever stop and think about that? Man, I could actually make God ashamed that He is my God. That's what that's saying. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. When we live our lives with an eye towards heaven, it pleases God, because He has prepared heaven for us. How would you like it if you went to a lot of work? You know, like my son and I went to a lot of work to work on that room, and those people didn't even appreciate it. That would make you feel lousy. You did a whole bunch of work for their comfort, for their joy, for their benefit, and then they don't even appreciate it. God has prepared heaven for you. Make it personal. He has prepared heaven for you. Man, we ought to be looking forward to that. We ought to be jazzed about that. And live our lives. Yeah, it's kind of tough here, but man, I got my eye on heaven. Man, it's going to be good. We're going to have some serious choir up there. Amen. I might even be able to sing on key.
Amen.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe He'll keep me like I am for comic relief. I don't know. But we should desire that God would be pleased with us, God's pleasure. Do you live your life to please and glorify God? That's the question. Do you live your life to please and glorify God? Christian perspective. We know this life's temporary. We seek a true homeland. We don't look back. We desire God's pleasure. He's prepared a place for us, right? So let's look at what God has prepared. And I'm not even going to preach this. I'm just going to read this. I may say something in the middle somewhere, a couple places, but I don't really know because I haven't really thought about it, about what I might say. But I just was just impressed just to read it. Just to read it. God's preparation for us, for you, for me, for all that name the name of Christ. He has prepared a place. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer existed. I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. You know the trouble? See, there's one of those places I'm going to talk. But you know the trouble a woman takes on her wedding day to get ready? I mean, it is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. She's got a whole team of people in there with her, you know? And the guy's just out there with his buds, you know. You know, hanging out at the altar. And, but she's getting ready, and God is doing that for you. You know, He's bringing it down for us. He's preparing. I mean, get the idea here. You know, don't just blow past these words. It says, then I heard a loud voice from the throne. This is awesome. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity. He will live with them. They will be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. And that's pretty cool right there. But then look at here. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. It will no longer be. Is that cool? Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer. Because the previous things have passed away. Man, it's going to be good. Man, if you don't get excited about that, you better check and see if you got a heartbeat. I mean, come on. No pain. No crying. No grief. Man, there's grief going on. We just had two families lose moms this week. You know? There's grief. There's plenty of grief to go around, isn't there? Because it comes to all of us. And it's going to be gone. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And he also said this, write this because these words are faithful and true. You know, this is not a fairy tale. This is truth. And he said it to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give water as a gift to the thirsty from the spring of life. The victor will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Then a little warning. But the cowards and the unbelievers and the vile and the murderers and the immoral and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars, in case you think you didn't have any of those, just to make sure you're all convicted, all liars, their share will be in the lake of fire, the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Little warning there. But then let's get back to the good stuff. Then one of the seven angels who had held the seven bowls filled with the last seven plagues came and spoke with me. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heavens from God, arrayed with God's glory. Her radiance was like a very precious stone, like a jasper stone, bright as crystal. The city had a massive high wall with 12 gates. 12 angels were at the gates. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel's son were inscribed on the gates. And there were 3 on the east and 3 gates on the north and 3 on the south and 3 on the west. And the city wall had 12 foundations. And the 12 names of the Lamb's 12 apostles were on those foundations. And the one who spoke to me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and the gates and the wall. And the city is laid out in a square. Its length and width are the same. And he measured the city with the rod at 1,400 miles. And you stop and think about this. 1,400 miles from here, it's like Missouri. Or somewhere up back there. I didn't really look it up. I mean, it's probably that far to Seattle from here. So from here to Seattle, to Missouri Square, and then on top of that, 1,400 miles high, because it's a cube. This is one big place. Its length, width, and height are equal. And then he measured its wall, 144 cubits according to human measurement. The building was jasper. The city was pure gold. You know, gold ain't going to be worth nothing, man. There's going to be so much gold there. The foundations of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacinth, amethyst. The 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made of a single pearl. That'd be one big clam. That'd be one dude of a clam, huh? This gotta be huge. The broad street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. I did not see a sanctuary in it because the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its sanctuary. The city does not need sun or moon because God's glory illuminates it. And its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations will walk in its light. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. You see, there's a new heaven and a new earth, right? So there's going to be some kind of structure there. Looks like there's going to be rulers. And each day its gates will never close because it will never be night there. Just think that. We won't be sleeping. Now, I don't know about you, but I enjoy sleep. But it's only because I need it, you know? We're not going to need sleep. It's going to be like 24/7, man. And they will bring... Well, each day the gates will never close because it will never be night. And they will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Nothing profane will ever enter it. No one who does what is vile or false will enter. But only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's one book you want to get into. And then he showed me the river of living water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the broad street of the city. The tree of life was on both sides of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, and there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his slaves will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will no longer exist. People will not need lamplight or sunlight because the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. And then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. Man, just stop and ponder what that it must be going to be. It's a new heaven, new earth. No pollution. I mean, you know, you could try and clean this place up. You know, I mean, no, don't have to. Now, should we take care of what we got? Yeah, we should. But, man, he's going to get rid of it all. And it's all going to be new. It's all going to be pure. And we get to be there. Isn't that cool? We get to be there. Man, do you understand how blessed you are? And we don't get just to visit. We are there forever. It's kind of like you go somewhere and it's really cool. You know, it's just beautiful. I've been in some places. I've been in 30-something states. I've seen some beautiful things. And you think, man, I wish I could just stay here. But even if I could, I'd still only live to be whatever, 80, 900, whatever. And then I wouldn't be there no more. But when we get to this place, it's forever. Man, it just doesn't get any better than that. On Memorial Day, we recognize those who gave their lives that we could live in freedom in this place we call America. But for the Christian, let us live our lives remembering that Jesus gave His life so that we could live forever with Him in a place called heaven that I just read to you, just described for you as John best as he could. You know, it's got to be way better than that. That's just all the words he could find. You ever go to a place and like, and then you come back and it's really just like awe-inspiring, and then you come back and try and tell somebody. They don't, you can kind of tell them, but they don't, you have to, and what do you end up saying? You just got to see it. That's what you end up saying. You can't really, I can tell you all this. I can even show you a little picture. But you just got to be there. And you know what? In heaven, you just got to be there, folks. John did the best he could, but you just got to be there. And Jesus gave His life so you could. So you could. Just like our great veterans that gave their life so we could be here. Well, Jesus gave His life so we could be there. This should be the Christian perspective. I will live my life remembering that every day is Memorial Day. Every day is Memorial Day. We ought to remember every day that Jesus gave His life for me. I should remember that every day and be thankful. Amen. Going to have an invitation. Are you prepared? God's preparing a place for you. But now the question is, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Are you prepared? I don't know. What are you doing? Are you ignoring His word? Are you doing things your own way? Are you seeking things according to your wisdom? God's laid it out pretty good. Are you prepared? There may be someone here today. You don't know. You're not prepared. And you've just, you know, you've had that revealed to you. You are not ready. Because there is a day coming. You know, they have the books. Book of life, names being written down, new name written down in glory, you know, that kind of thing. But there's going to come a day. The book is closed because the last name's been written down. And those that are not in the Lamb's book of life, they got a problem. The good news is that day hasn't come yet. The book is open. And Jesus is calling. You may be very aware that you're not ready. But you know what? You don't have to be. You don't have to be unprepared. You can take a step of faith. Just confess to God that you're messed up and you got good company. Everybody in this room is messed up. One way or another. And just say, Lord, I'm messed up. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But You prepared a place for those that trust in Jesus Christ, and I want to place my faith and trust in Him. And you ask Him to forgive you, and He will. And the Bible says He'll pick you up out of the miry clay and set you on a rock. For the rest of us, do you live your life like this is temporary and there's more to it? Do you live your life like you're a citizen of heaven? Do you live your life with the end in mind? Do you live your life to please God and glorify Him? How are you living your life? Have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Mike, I am not prepared. I need to make a decision, and I recognize that. Is there anybody like that? I'd like you to slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. Okay, as far as I know, and I hope it's true, as far as I know, everyone's okay. I pray that that's true. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I've been pricked, and I realize I need to live my life a little differently in one area or another. Somebody like that. Just, I need to live my life a little differently. Amen. God bless you. I need to, maybe think more about that day when I'm going to meet Him. Anybody like that? I need to kind of be concerned about that. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, I just don't really... I kind of look at everything as like it's going to be forever, but I've come to realize it's temporary, and I need to understand that and start moving forward from some things in my past. Anybody like that? Amen. I see that. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I know these are some hard things, but God will meet you right where you're at, and He'll do something in your life. I hope and pray that the things He's brought to your mind today, that you will act upon them, and you will actively seek His face and what you should do, and allow Him to work in your life in a marvelous way. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before You, and I ask You, Lord, even now, to move on hearts, Lord. Help us to ponder these things, and help us to realize what You have already done for us. And help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus. That we'd start living for others more than ourselves. Help us, Lord, to have the perspective we should have, and to be thankful for what You have done and what You are doing and what You've prepared for our future. And I ask You these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time as Kathy plays. God's pricked your heart. You pray. Ask Him to reveal to you whatever it might be, and allow Him to work in you and respond accordingly. This is your time. Father, Lord God, we come before You thankful for heaven, thankful for the promises we find in Your Word. Help us, Lord, to set aside the things that just so easily beset us, that the world, our flesh, the devil, Lord, tries to work to separate us from You, Lord. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes focused on You and Your promises, that our faith would be strengthened, and that You would become more real in our lives each and every day, Lord, as we seek to serve You and praise You and thank You and love You and all that You deserve, Lord, for You have done so much on our behalf. Thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.